Welcome back to Human Emotion. So as we talked about in the last couple lectures, one of the most important and controversial questions is, to what extent are emotions unique to humankind or similar in all of the animal kingdom? So we'll conclude our discussion today on emotion in animals today by looking at other kinds of species. What about dogs, rats, and even elephants? Do they experience emotions as well? And how similar versus how distinct are they from the kinds of emotions that we experience as humans? So our roadmap will go today as follows. We'll start with dogs, looking at, do they have the ability to be compassionate, canine compassion. We'll then turn to rodent rapture, then to elephant emotions, followed by our usual takeaway questions and expert interview. So let's start today with canine compassions. So as noted earlier, emotion was one of the main features of interest in comparing shared similarities of human and animal emotions in Darwin's early writings and drawings, as you can see here. Many pet owners would also argue endlessly that their dogs absolutely feel emotions and detail at length just how their pooch tells them they're happy or sad or feeling guilty when they break into the snack jar. So as a dog owner, this is my dog here, Rupi, I often find myself subject to this common experience of ascribing all kinds of feelings of emotion to my dog. And I would argue here she absolutely feels happy after a long game of fetch. So many dog owners would just say, absolutely they experience emotions. Like, how could you question that otherwise? But we don't actually have a lot of data until recently to start to get hints of exactly how canines or dogs may be expressing emotions. One really provocative study came out looking at the way dogs wag their tails as a window into their emotions. So here they looked at what's called the asymmetric tail wag. So specifically what they did is they had 30 dogs who were placed in a cage with a camera right in front of their face. And in front of their face on the camera, there were four conditions. They either viewed their owner, an unfamiliar human, cats, or an unfamiliar dominant dog. And they looked at just to what degree they wagged their tail more towards the left, what they called a left tail bias, or more towards the right, a right tail bias. So if you're a dog and you wag your tail to the left, that's thought to be an indicator of negative emotion because the left side of our body is sort of overseen by the right side of our hemisphere, which is associated more with negative emotion. So the more they kind of wag to the left, it sounds like they're feeling negative. And indeed, they showed this left tail bias towards unfamiliar dominant dogs that were likely to make them feel uncomfortable or distressed. By contrast, they showed a right tail bias, kind of wagging to the right, as an indicator of what people think of as positive emotion. So again, the right side of your body is sort of managed by your left hemisphere, and that's sort of associated with more positive emotion feelings. And indeed, it's consistent. They showed this right tail bias when they were with or viewing pictures of their owners or videos of unfamiliar humans and also cats that got them pretty excited. So it seems to be that if you pay careful attention to just what kind of angle your dog's wagging his or her tail, more towards the left or more towards the right, you may actually be able to get a window into how they're feeling. And some other studies by Alexander Horowitz, who wrote the book Inside of a Dog, has started to look at emotions like guilt. So some of her work has focused on whether or not dogs can actually experience guilt. So if you're a dog owner, you might readily also describe expressions and feelings of guilt when your dogs behave badly. I know when I've come home and my dogs have torn up a bunch of books on the floor and I tell them, bad dog, they seem to look pretty guilty to me. But are these kinds of attributions of guilt from owners to dogs actually valid? Do they really, quote, look guilty? So she tried to systematically study and answer this question of, do dogs really feel guilty? So what she did, as you can see here, is she had 14 dogs who were videotaped repeatedly, and she then coded these videotapes for what she called the guilty look. That was present when they were disobeying their owner's command. So they'd not eating a treat while the owner was away. So they coded for the guilty look. And they did this to look at whether or not it was present when the dogs were disobeying the owner's command. So when they were told not to eat a treat when the owner left. And they also, in this experiment, tried to vary whether or not the owners actually knew if their dog had eaten that treat. What they found by looking at whether or not the dog did or did not disobey the owner's command to eat the treat and whether the owner did or did not know that the dog had done this, they found no evidence of this so-called guilty look. What they found instead was the guilty look seemed to be more often viewed when owners scolded their dogs. So it suggests that this guilty look may actually be more a response to the owner's cues, so scolding them, as opposed to the dog actually appreciating or actually understanding that they committed some sort of misdeed. So although they have the guilty look, it may be actually in response to being scolded as opposed to really internally feeling guilty for something they had done that they weren't supposed to do, like eating a treat when their owner was away. If you want to hear or view more on dog feelings, there actually a recent series just came out, a NOVA series entitled What Are Animals Thinking? So there's a lot more on this if you're interested in understanding the inner emotional life of dogs. Interestingly, there's also been a lot of attention to a study that was published in 2012 by researchers Deborah Custance, who found clues suggesting that pet dogs may really indeed be man's best friend. So here you can see on the slide, it says, can dogs really show empathy towards humans? And she found some evidence that pet dogs may actually indeed be man's best friend, especially when it comes to understanding them during times of distress. So the study looked at empathy and asserted that dogs really can read our feelings. So they had 18 pet dogs here, and the dogs went through four separate 20-second encounters with humans, both owners and strangers. And these humans, whether they're the owner or the stranger, either hummed, talked, or cried. And they found that dogs most often tried to comfort the person by either nuzzling them or licking them when the human was crying. So it wasn't just because the human was making a loud noise like humming, and it wasn't just talking. It was really specific to crying, both with owners and with strangers. So this suggested that maybe dogs can actually get into our mind and experience empathy for us and indeed read our feelings. And as Deborah Custance said here, who conducted the study, I think there's good reason to suspect dogs would be more sensitive to human emotion than any other species. So, if you're interested in learning more, you can check out several recent books that have emerged about the inner minds of dogs, such as The Emotional Lives of Animals or Inside of a Dog, What Dogs See, Smell, and Know. You can also check out the Family Dog Project research website, which is entirely devoted to better understanding, as you can see here, the evolutionary and ethological foundations of the dog-human relationship. And you can see here the website is familydogproject.elte.hu. So now we're going to turn to rats, what I've called rodent rapture. Here we're going to answer the question of whether rats can actually experience rodent rapture or joy. And we're going to do that by looking through the lens of laughter and asking, can rats actually laugh? Seems kind of a funny question, because often we think, well, is laughter actually something that would be silly to ascribe to a rat, but is actually something that's really uniquely human? So laughter was originally thought to be a capacity for humans that preceded our capacity for speech and language in the evolution of the human brain. But however, it appears that these neural circuits for laughter actually exist in much more primitive brain regions that date long ago in other animals before humans even came into the picture. So Jacques Panksepp has looked at laughter in rats, as you can see him here, and he has found that indeed rats do laugh. They emit this, what he calls 50 hertz chirp, during play and when they're playfully tickled. And it's not only that they emit this sort of rat laughter when they're playing or when they're being tickled, but they also seem to actually seek out tickling. It's a sign of pleasure for them. And if you go onto YouTube and simply enter the word rat laughter and Dr. Pansep, you'll find that there's many videos of him actually tickling the rats, and you can see them emitting this little rat-like chirp laughter. So indeed, quite surprisingly, it seems that rats actually can laugh. And they do so in reliable contexts in which you would experience anyone to laugh when they're playing or when they're being tickled. So indeed, there's emotions such as laughter even in rats. So now I want to turn to another species, elephants, and start to look at the question of, do elephants also have emotions? Elephants are a really noble species, and in fact Aristotle even said when talking about elephants that they are the animal which surpasses all others in wit and mind. So these are the largest sort of land animals on the planet and among the most exuberantly expressive of creatures. We know that there are some of the world's most intelligent creatures, and they have brains that are larger than those of any other land animal. And their cortex has indeed even a comparable number of neurons as does a human brain. Not surprisingly, elephants have been known to be highly intelligent and social. And they also seem to have this depth to experience a range of complex thoughts and feelings. Now, research, empirical research on elephant emotions, it's still in a very early stage. But what I will provide you a clue with for as you embark in your own scientific discoveries of emotion, and if you're interested in elephants in particular, I'm going to show you some observations of elephants displaying emotion for you to think about how could we take some of the tools we've learned in this class and apply them to elephants to really get into their lives of these very noble and intelligent creatures. So some observations of elephant emotions include things such as grief. So there's anecdotal accounts of elephants which suggest they have the profound capacity to experience grief. And they even engage in very elaborate rituals over the death of other elephants. So they mourn the loss of them, just as humans do in many striking ways, suggesting that they have this deeply embedded ability to experience grief. There's also sort of stories of in the wild of joy being an emotion that elephants have no shame in showing. They express their happiness and joy when they're amongst their loved ones and family and friends. And they also show joy when they're playing games or greeting friends or family members. All of these things elicit displays of joy in elephants. And compassion does not seem to be reserved solely for mother-infant relationships in elephant society. And in fact, elephants actually appear to make allowances for other family members of their herd. So there's observers who have noted that one African herd always seemed to travel more slowly because one of its members had never recovered from a broken leg. There's other perplexing reports of adult elephants who made a repeated attempt to help rescue a baby rhinoceros who was stuck in the mud. And one of the elephants in particular continued to try to save this poor little baby rhino stuck in the mud, despite the fact that the rhino's mom kept charging the elephant each time. So she appeared to be risking her life for the sake of an animal that wasn't even her own and not even related to her, in this remarkably compassionate, altruistic nature. So less scientific work has been done, specifically measuring emotions in elephants. This leaves open a wide range of mysteries and questions about the emotional mind for the next generation of emotional scholars. If you're interested in reading a bit more, you might want to check out this book, When Elephants Weep, The Emotional Lives of Animals. And with that, we'll turn now to our takeaway questions. So the first asks, what is the supportive evidence for or against the presence of guilt and empathy in dogs? Second, what type of data was used to infer the presence of rat laughter that we talked about earlier? And then finally, what are example emotions that we seem to view as evident or observationally present in elephants? And now we're going to turn to our experts in emotion interview. And today, for our expert interview, will be speaking with the sort of father of rat laughter research, Dr. Jacques Panksepp. He will share his thoughts on rodent emotions. So he holds an endowed chair at Washington State University's College of Veterinary Medicine and is an emeritus professor of psychology at Bowling State University. He received his PhD from the University of Massachusetts in behavioral neuroscience. And importantly, he is a world-famous expert in affective neuroscience. He employs a detailed understanding of basic emotional systems at the neural level, often using animal and human models in his research. He specializes in understanding how fear, social bonding, and separation processes are organized in the brain. He has published a remarkable 300-plus scientific articles, co-edited a multi-volume handbook of the hypothalamus, as well as for emotions and psychopathology. And he's the author of a text entitled Affective Neuroscience, The Foundations of Human and Animal Emotions. His work has received well-recognized merits, including, for example, among many, the NIMH Research Scientist Development Award. So we have a special pleasure today to speak with Dr. Panksepp on the emotional life of rodents, animal models of human brains.